We're going to move into the offenders portion. Mr. Freeman, please come forward, sir. Any Marine police officers who are going to testify today, please come forward as well. Please raise your right hands. You need to swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Let the record reflect all the witnesses were sworn in. Ms. Iverson.
Yes, good afternoon, Commissioner.
Welcome. Will you please speak up a little bit? I'm getting hard of hearing. I'm getting old.
Good afternoon, Commissioner.
Thank you.
We have Thomas Freeman is our offender for today. These are the convictions that brought Mr. Freeman here over the limit pot fish pots set in the navigable channels, exceeding the fish pot limit, and keeping hard crabs from fish pots.
Officer York, you going first? Please.
This incident took place August 23rd, 2017. I approached both the two sons, made contact with the captain. First to my right, Mr. Freeman. Those crabs on board, he was working fish pots. And he had a crabber on board with him. We counted the pots, and he had 51 pots. Those are the ones that we could count. There was actually a few more. The tide was actually coming up, and they were disappearing over on the by the shipyard, the line that was running down the shipyard. And on October 10th, he was found guilty and $100 fine, $30 fine.
Any questions from the board? Mr. Freeman, do you want to address these individually? Or
yes, sir.
Okay, then please come forward here and address this particular charge.
Sure. Well, if you can hear.
Officer York, would you slide over a little bit so he's in front of the microphone? Thank you, sir.
Okay. I'm Thomas Freeman, ladies and gentlemen. All right. First and foremost, I've been working these waters since I was 9 years old. I know pretty much everything about it. My father, y'all know him very well. Okay. On this date, Mr. York did approach my vessel. I watched him. I talked with him about it. He was kind of following to see if I was in the channel. The species of fish that I was targeting is oyster toads. That's my main thing. I had another crabber on my vessel. His name was William Forbes. His boat broke down. I was actually helping him fish some of his pots, and he was helping me. You know, he was just baiting my pots. So, it was not a problem. I had a half a bushel of crabs on the boat, which belonged to Mr. Forrest. I had no crab pots in the water whatsoever, just fish pots. That's my thing. So, when he approached me, I think we might have had, in that particular moment, a moment, because I was getting boarded almost every day by different officers everywhere. So he came to me, and he says, hey, how you doing? Oh, Gus, you want to get on the vessel at that point? He said, no, you got crabs. I said, yeah, I got like a half a bushel in that barrel. He couldn't see them. I said, would you like to come aboard? No. I said, so tell me why it is I get checked every day. What's going on? He says, well, I can board you every hour if I want, which is fine. That's his job. Whatever. I think at that moment, he was just meeting me. I was just seeing him for that. So it was kind of like, this is weird. So I observed him and the gentleman in the vessel they were in for 5 hours watching me. I knew they were counting my pots because they were kind of seeing where I was going, and I was just going home at that point. I actually called his supervisor, his commander, and stated that I feel like I'm being harassed. I don't know what's going on here. You know, they're running through my pots. What's happening? The gentleman said that he's going to check into it. Fine. I went to the dock. They went to Hampton Creek. I guess they went and had lunch where I docked my boat. And I went to Amory's to get bait. When I come out, I stand on the dock with a ticket. I was surprised, actually. Because, for one, on a previous ticket that I received, I know
let's address this issue.
All right. So, I'm surprised to get this because I've had officers, a lot of them before him, tell me I was okay. Mr. Forrest was good to go on my boat. As long as I didn't exceed the limit, I'm helping him out. I did not have crab pots in the water. I did not have over the limit. So what I did this particular day, I said, Bill, we're just going to throw the crabs over. It's not worth the headache. I'll pay you out of my pocket. Let's just work. That's exactly what happened. And to get this ticket, I was shocked because I was already told everything was okay before by a couple different ones. And we'll get to all that. So that's kind of where we're at with this ticket. I could not appear in court for any of these tickets. For one, I have to work hard. I have four households that I take care of. And, you know, at this particular moment, my son was in King's Daughters. My father's on his deathbed. There's just too much going on for me to deal with this and watch my gear. It's too much. So I figured that, okay, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to be standing right here. And I'm glad, actually, because you can actually hear exactly what happened in my side of the story of how all of this played out from beginning to end. Thank you.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Tankard.
So you said you were shocked that you got the ticket. I don't know if I understand the logic of the shock.
Okay.
Why you were shocked with the ticket.
He's shocking me for over-the-limit fish pots. And my license is a 300-plus license for fish pots. And he said he counted 51 pots. Okay? I had 300 fish pots in the water. Give or take, maybe I lost some that day. Who knows? I lose them all the time. So he gave me a ticket for over the limit, and he says to me, I had crabs on my vessel. For one, I'm not trying to attack him or his demeanor. He never seen the crabs. I told him I had crabs. Two, I threw them over because he asked me again at the dock, where's the crabs? I threw them over. It's not worth the headache. So how can I get a ticket for over the limit fish pots? Well, for one, you can't count them. It's impossible. And two, why would I get it anyway? Because I didn't have any crabs on my vessel. He never seen them. I told him I had them. I'm just being honest. I have nothing to hide based on the previous times that I was told I was okay. So it's the conflict, I'm going like this, going, am I right? Am I wrong? What's going on? That's where that confusion came in.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions from the commission? You have a 300 fish pot license.
300 plus, yes, sir.
Okay. Officer York, count 300 pots? How is this over?
It's 10%.
I got
it's
you.
Max to 30.
Thank you.
Could you explain that?
Anything over 30 pots is a violation.
So you're saying it's a 300 crab pot license, of which 10% can be fish pots.
If he has a crab pot in the water, mm-hmm. The max he can have, if it's just one, the max he can have is 30 pots. That's it. Anything over that is a violation. And like I said, I counted them. There was 52. And those were the ones that we could count. And he's absolutely right. There was a lot of them that we could not count because the tide was up and they were starting to go underwater with the current, and we couldn't see
them. I think there's some more questions.
I don't kind of understand what's going on. You talk about fish pots, and then you talk about crab pots. I mean, what? Explain to me, so were you counting fish pots?
We're counting fish pots.
And then what does crabs got to do with it?
If he has a crab pot in the water, then it's a max. They can have 30 fish pots in the water.
Well, did you find a crab pot?
Yes.
And was it his?
No, it was Mr. Forrest. It was on his boat.
So how does that translate into him? I mean, evidently, this guy Forrest admits he got.
It doesn't have to be.
Mr. Commissioner, if I may, I was there with Officer York. The regulation says if any person aboard the vessel has crab pots in the water, then it limits the person on board that vessel with the fish pot license to 10% or the maximum of 30 fish pots in the water. This day, Mr. Freeman had Mr. Forrest on board the vessel who had crab pots set in the water. That essence alone limits Mr. Freeman to having only 30 fish pots or 10% set.
And then y'all counted 51 fish pots.
Correct, which put him over the 30.
I got you.
It's the combination of the crabber on the vessel with fish pots in the water, or crab pots in the water, along with the fish pots being fished from the same vessel that makes a violation.
I got you.
Mr. Tanker.
So thus, you didn't really need to see crabs on the boat. All you had to know was that you had a crabber on the boat who had pots in the water.
Yes, sir.
There wasn't any need to see crabs in the boat.
Correct. That's yes, correct. Sir. Just a crabber on board with a license that had pots in the water. This was admitted to us, and we physically went and found one of that gentleman's crab pots that same day when we were out there for the 5 hours.
Okay.
Mr. Ballard.
Amongst the waterman community, how well is it known that if you have a crabber on board your vessel that the regulations change like that? Is this something most of them are aware of, or is this kind of a nuanced regulation?
I can't testify to what somebody might know or not know.
Are there other questions from the commission? Mr. Freeman, is there something else on this particular charge that you need the board to know?
Well, I mean, actually, it's kind of ironic because before I called the VMRC. I called down,
and I actually asked these questions based on some previous things that happened because I needed to know. I wanted to know why it is, if I have the license, I can't have crab pots and fish pots. Well, a lady tells me on the phone, right here, says, well, the law states that you're only allowed this amount of fish pots, or you can't have crab pots and fish pots in the water, me personally, okay? Because of, this is exact words, exactly, says to me, unfortunately, Mr. Freeman, you have to pay the price for the people who have the 100 pot license that are cheaters. I said, hold on a minute. What? You mean to tell me that I can't do what I need done because of people who break the law with a 100-pot license? And she says, unfortunately, that is correct. That was told to me right here. Okay. So I knew at that moment what I needed to do based on some previous things that happened. I did not have pots in the water. I did not go over my limit. I was helping a gentleman out, which I was told was okay by other officers. So,
all right, anything else on this particular charge on this event?
Let me ask him.
Mr. Zeger.
So I'm just starting to understand what the rules are. So were you aware on this particular day, obviously, that Mr. Forrester was a crabber?
Yes, sir.
And you were aware that he had crab pots in the water?
Yes, sir.
And were you aware that the regulations said that if you have a crab pot person who has crab pots in the water, that then that kind of negates your 300 pot fish license, and you can only have 10%.
No, sir. I was told by an officer that will probably be standing right here in just a few minutes that we don't have a problem with Mr. Force, because I got boarded before. We don't have a problem with Mr. Force and his crabs. I was helping him out. His boat was broke down. I'm going to give you a ticket. We don't have a problem with him, his license, his crabs. I was like, okay. So he wrote me a ticket anyway. Basically, he boarded me. This is a previous thing. You need to know this. He boarded me. I had 3 bushels of crabs. They were my crabs. Okay? And under the old law, I believe, you were allowed a bycatch in your fish pots. Well, all that changed because I just got back into this again. And I feel, I was like, all right, so I'm good to go. Bill, I can help you out. We're good to go. No problem. I threw my crabs overboard thinking that I was breaking the law.
Mr. Freeman, let me sum up what I think you're saying here is the rules had changed. You didn't realize it, and you had this guy on board here as a help to him, and you didn't realize that it was going to impact the number of fish pots you could set that particular day.
I had no idea.
Okay. Tell me again why you didn't tell this to the judge.
Well, I did not even go to court. I was unable to go to court.
You were unable?
My son was in King's Daughters fighting for his life, and my father was also in ICU on his deathbed. So there's no way. I had too much going on. And the fish pots.
Okay.
And, you know, it was just a lot. I just could not do it.
Okay.
It was impossible.
Let's address the next charge, which was the conviction based on the events of July 22nd of 2007. Sergeant Griffin.
Officer Griffin, Virginia Marine Police. It was July 22nd, 2017. Mr. Freeman, I was on patrol. He had placed his fish pots out in the navigable portion of the Thimble Shoal Channel leading from the naval base to the modern Merrimack Bridge. It is marked with navigation aids. They're set there by the government. It's a federally maintained channel. At the time, I went down and I plotted and counted 31 fish pots that were in the navigable channel. At that time, I wrote him a summons. I wrote the summons, and I gave it to him actually on the 25th and explained to him that he cannot have the fish pots in the navigable channel. And Mr. Freeman's had explained to me when I wrote him the summons that they drift there. He sets his fish pots out there in deep water, and all 31 of them have drifted into the channel. So he was taken to court. The first time this came up to court, there was a continuance requested on August 15th by Mr. Freeman. The judge continued the case till October 10th, 2017. Mr. Freeman, again, did not show up for court. He was found guilty in his absence in Hampton General District Court, given a fine of $60, court costs $126.
Any questions from the board? Mr. Freeman.
Yes, sir.
Please address this issue.
Okay. On this day, this is actually coincides with the previous event.
Which was a month later.
Month before. This is totally, he was the last guy that I had to deal with. That gentleman ahead of him. Okay, so, yes, there were pots in the channel. No doubt about it. Where I sit in the species of fish that I target, which is an oyster toad, I have to sit in deep water. And I'm always chasing down my gear. All the time. Unfortunately, we had a storm that came through Suffolk. It's a documented storm. It was 65-mile-an-hour straight-line winds. I spent 5 days rounding up my gear. I lost 85 pots on my own. I tried. You know, I've taken up all day, 5 days, trying to get them. He knows. They go underwater, I can't get them. I have to wait. This particular day, I believe the Vims boat was out there. Big Vims boat was checking me out. Kind of curious, probably wondering what I was doing because I'm the only one in Virginia doing what I do. Period. So I'm taking pots up, running pots out. I knew there were pots in the channel. I tried to get as many of them as I could. For one, they were not in a straight line. This gentleman shows me a picture of one of my buoys wrapped around a channel marker. Now, I assure you, there's no way in the world I'm going to intentionally try to lose my pot or set it around the buoy. It happens. I did the best I could do to get him out. I had to wait for two more days to actually get him. He counted 31. I got back 11. And they were all over the place. I wish I would have got 31. That would have been great. But I didn't. You know, unfortunately, where I sit is the most... It's the terriblest place you could possibly sit. But based on what I'm trying to do and what I, the fish I catch, that's where you have to be. It's a hazard. I lose them. They drag. You know, I do the best I can do. And I got a ticket because I was late. Late on the game, and I couldn't get them. That's all I got to say about that.
Questions from the board? Mr. Tankard.
You say you were late on the game. I'm not sure if I understand what you reacted too quickly or too late after the windstorm?
Well, I spent 5 days trying to round up. Things were in a pile. My pots were in piles everywhere. Literally, I mean, it was ridiculous. So I spent 5 days going in circles, playing cowboy. I guess I could not get to these pots in time, meaning late in the game was... He's seen the pots in the channel before I could actually get to them. The way the current runs, you have a 4-knot current, and I got 100 feet of rope on these pots. I got a limited window before they go under again. So I'm basically fishing all of my gear on tide changes, and I have to be quick. That's why I'm late on the game. I got to be quick. If I miss it, I miss it. I did all I could do. That's what that means.
Thank you. So you want to catch the tide when it's slack is what you're saying?
I got to get as much as I can.
Right.
If the tide's slack, I'm good. And especially if they get into the channel, you know, by accident, and it's a lot deeper. It's 65, 70 feet. The only thing you're going to see is a little stick at slack water, and you get lucky to get it or not. Sometimes you don't. So I fortunately, I didn't get them all. I wish I would have. I got what I could get.
Other questions? Mr. Cedar.
Does anybody help you do this work?
Yeah, my son. Yes, sir.
How old is he?
He's 22.
And I know you said you had some problems with some family members in the hospital, but it sounds to me like you had a good legal defense to these cases. I mean, and you, I understand one of the cases was continued by the judge, but why didn't you make some concerted effort to come to court with your son and prove your case?
You know, I had all intentions. I even hired a lawyer. I had all intentions on going to court every time. I'm the one who asked for a continuance because I was going to try to make that window. First and foremost, what I do is something that no one's doing. No one's done it. And the fish I catch are very pricey. That's why I do it, because we make good money. This past year, I lost almost $18,000 in wire. Not just by stealing. That was the main thing. People fishing me, stealing me. So these are all the variables I had to deal with. This is why I didn't have time. If I'm not there on my gear, someone's going to fish it. He's a testimony to that because he caught one of them. And I called it other times. I called some people. If I'm not there, they're going to get stolen, fished, or I can't get them. Or they're going to move. So it's one of these things where you have to be there. And time, there's not enough time to allow everything. I wanted to go to court so bad, trust me. Between fishing all day, going to the hospital, two different hospitals, I just did not have time. And I wish I would have. But I knew I was going to be standing right here, looking at you, explaining all of this. I knew it. And I was actually hoping to, not because I want to get in trouble, but I want you guys to know exactly what happened, in defined detail of what is going on with my particular situation, because it's very unique.
Any other questions from the commission? Okay, thank you, Mr. Freeman. Officer Price.
Good afternoon. Brandon Price, Virginia Marine Police. On July 22, 2017, I was working on a complaint that I received from Officer Griffin regarding the vessel Two Sons keeping harvesting crabs out of fish pots. Myself and Officer Thompson were operating an unmarked police vessel. We were in the area of the Hampton Bar when we observed the two sons come up and start fishing fish pots. Prior to seeing the two sons earlier that shift, we came in early. We'd actually counted 90 fish pots starting from the area of the Newport News Shipbuilding coming on through the Modern Merrimack Island to the Hampton Bar. While observing a fishing vessel, two sons, I observed two pots come overboard, and they keep the contents, the crabs and the fish, out of the fish pots and put them into the boat, into the container. Pulled up next side of them, spoke with him, advised him what I had observed and him keeping the crabs out of the fish pots. I boarded his vessel. He had three barrels of crabs on board. While speaking with him and explaining to him what he had done wrong as far as keeping the crabs out of the fish pots, he advised he was not familiar with that, that he thought he could keep the crabs. There was a bycatch. When I asked him if all the crabs in the barrels had come out of the fish pots, he stated no, that he had 200 crab pots overboard run up by the James River Bridge. At that point, I advised him that there would be a second problem, that he was only allowed to have 10% with a maximum of 30 fish pots overboard. Being that he had that many crab pots over, there was going to be a second violation because I had previously counted 90 pots that morning. He was very upset over the fact, over what he thought was bycatch when I was trying to explain to him. And just so you know, I actually pulled the regulation up on my phone, and we went over it that day where he could only have 10% with a maximum of 30 overboard, which this offense obviously happened prior to Officer York's offense. He was issued two summonses, one for the over limit of the fish pots as well as keeping crabs out of fish pots. Again, on this originally was set for August the 15th, which Mr. Freeman asked for a continuance. The case was tried on October 10th in his absence. Judge Henderson still found him guilty, fined him $100 on the fish pots with a court cost of $91, and fined him $25 for having over the limit with a court cost of, I'm sorry, keeping crabs out of a fish pot was $25 fine with a $30 court cost. Mr. Freeman was cooperative with us throughout the entire process on this day, but to his defense, he did say that day he was unaware that the regulation had changed to where he could not keep crabs out of the fish pond. But I did go over that with him.
Did you issue the summons that day?
I did.
Okay. Questions from the commission? Mr. Freeman?
Yes, sir.
Okay. On this day, I observed, I am a 200-ton master captain. I'm very familiar with the waterways. I have over a million nautical miles. I've been on the water since I was 9 years old. So I know what's going on. I seen his vessel. I knew exactly who he was. No problem. More power to you. So they come by me. They did the classic VMRC maneuver. They go by you 100 miles an hour, and they turn around and come back 100 miles an hour, and there you go. They're beside your boat, which is great. This particular day, it was a little choppy. I just spent $70,000 to make sure my boat is impeccable. I have OCD really bad, and I like to have a nice vessel. And the first thing that struck me wrong about this day was they carried themselves very professionally. I didn't like the way they come up beside my boat and caused damage to the side of my boat on my rub rail. That set me off immediately. I was like, you know, this is not right. Hold the boat off. Hold the boat off. Mr. Price says to me, that's what fenders are for. The gentleman that was operating that boat, other than him, the man who was behind the wheel, knew. He looked me right in my face. And he knew when he looked at that, that it was a problem. Okay, he stepped on the boat. We went through everything. It's just like he said, I was not aware that there was a law change. I'll take that as me not crossing my T's and dotting my I's, because I like to do that. I like to be right on time. So by doing this, he gave me a ticket. It's justified by me, lack of knowledge on my own part. I'll take that. He also told me that Mr. Force, who I was helping on, he had crabs in the boat. It was not a problem. He's licensed. No problem. He said, no, I don't have a problem, Mr. Force. There's his crabs. I could have sat there, and I could have, my son standing right behind me, and I could have lied. I could have sat right there and lied straight to this man's face and told him none of these crabs are mine, because for one, he might have seen crabs coming up in my pots, because they catch crabs. And I was literally dumping over barrels and barrels of crabs all day. Over 1,000 pounds. You wouldn't believe how many crabs I caught. Ridiculous. So, if I wanted to break the law, I would have. But this is an example. At that particular moment, I was trying, you know, a lot was going in my mind. Here's my son looking at me. I could have lied and said, they're not my crabs. You didn't see me harvest nothing. Plain and simple. They didn't see it. I know this. They can pull my pot up and see there's 25 or 30 crabs in the pot and assume that I'm harvesting blue crabs, also with the oyster toads. I also didn't have to tell this gentleman that I had crab pots in the water. I did not know there was a law against that until I called. And that's when the lady told me, unfortunately, Mr. Freeman, you have to, the guys with the 100-pot license, this is why it is. And I'm like, wow, so I can't do this. So what I did, I immediately took them hard crab pots up. Got them out of the water. Did not harvest not one crab out of those pots at my own expense, my own time, because at that moment, I knew that I was not obeying the law because it was made aware to me. So I fixed it. And I had nothing but fish pots. So with the over the limit, I didn't have to tell him anything. I didn't have to tell him I had pots up the river. I didn't have to tell him they were my crabs. I did an example for my son. And I told the exactly truth. I was honorable in my intentions. And it was failure on my part to not know the exact law. I just got back into this, and I missed it. This is the one thing that I missed. So if I can say anything to you guys, I would tell you this. These two tickets that I got, you know, I was harvesting over the limit, that's justified by law, as I did not know. All these other ones, you know, I couldn't get the pots out the channel. This gentleman came to me, gave me a ticket for over the limit based on pots from another gentleman that I was already told by Mr. Price was okay to have on my boat. He did that. He told me, I don't have a problem. He's fine on your boat. I have a problem with you. So this man gave me a ticket for having the same thing. This man told me I was good to go. It gets better than that. So I had other days that I was approached by VMRC vessels. They come to me. They want to check me out. Perfect. I invite you aboard my boat, please.
Mr. Freeman, is this tale pertinent to these three?
Yes, sir.
Three cases?
Yes, sir.
I hope so.
It is. So a gentleman comes to me off the shipyard the day before he arrives. VMRC guy in a little white boat comes aboard, checks me out. Everything's okay. Mr. Forrest's license, there's Mr. Forrest's crabs. He had two bushels of crabs, my license, have a good day. Very next day, he comes to me and gives me a ticket for the same thing. But that man just told me I was good to go. That's all I got to say.
Chief O'Reilly, I have a question here that maybe you know or you can answer. So, as I recall, we had a problem with fish pots being used early in the season to catch crabs not as bycatch. And that, as I recall, the regulation was changed that's directly pertinent to these particular cases. Do you remember when that regulation change was?
I'm thinking 4 years ago.
That's about what I'm thinking as well.
But the other thing is there was difficulty back in the late 90s with harvesters setting out crab pots earlier and putting an F on them for fish pot. And because of that, there was a regulation in Chapter 270 which gives a five-day window where you cannot set the fish pots. So that really goes back to that bycatch issue. But, yes, the 10%, it was not a nuanced regulation. It was a lot of people here for that fish pot regulation because I can remember misunderstanding one gentleman just about what he was trying to describe for a hoop net, what you called a hoop pot. So that developed over the course of a couple of months. As a matter of fact, I think that at the time we had also done a report, had a report for the commission on looking at how to handle the fish pot and looking at where to do the separation. So in the upriver areas, the upriver reaches of our rivers, there is an exemption. But in all other areas, it's down to what you heard today, where it is, a maximum of 30. And there were quite a lot of folks that did attend that. So, and I don't know Mr. Freeman's situation as to when and where he was, but those are the facts that I remember.
Are there questions to the board of Mr. Freeman, or any other questions? Stephanie, what do the matrix guidelines call for in this particular case?
So those are Mr. Freeman's previous convictions. And
could you back up 1 second, please?
The previous convictions for Mr. Thomas Freeman.
Okay. I just want to note it for the record that there's been no convictions for natural resource violations since the year 2000. So these would be the first in 17 years.
The commission's matrix guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of taking hard crabs from a fish pot and one conviction of exceeding fish pot limit while having crab pots in water should result in at least a one-year revocation of all crabbing licenses in accordance with Section 28.2.232 of the Code of Virginia. The matrix guidelines suggest to the commission to revoke Mr. Freeman's commission-issued crabbing licenses for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, February 27, 2018, through February 26, 2019. The Code of Virginia also allows that the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. Freeman's crabbing licenses during this revocation period.
That's the guidelines that the commission uses as an orientation mark. They don't have to abide by these. They can make other changes. They can go up to a number of years here for license revocation, or go with probation, or go with no charge at all, no penalty at all. Mr. Freeman, I'm going to ask for your reaction or your thoughts here on the concept of revocation of your crab licenses for a one-year period.
Revocation means I am no longer allowed to harvest a crab.
Yeah.
That would be detrimental, not only to me, but pretty much there's four households that rely on me.
What are these four households?
It's my income, my son's household, my mother's household, and the crew member with me. Everybody relies. Unfortunately, there's a lot of weight on my shoulders. I came back into this industry this past year. I left after I did the dredge survey. I was a hired captain. I worked with these guys close in hand. And I left because I wanted to achieve my 200-ton master captain's license. So I came back. My son had the drive and the will. He wanted the heritage. You know, we've been in the water all of our life. I put all that behind me, and I came back to start a new chapter. Unfortunately, I got off to a little shaky start here.
I feel that if you guys determine that I am no longer able to harvest in these waters, that's going to be a very bad thing for me. You know, I am a good guy. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I'm a great father. If I made a mistake, I own up to it. All of this has just been a little overwhelming and pretty chaotic, actually, with the up and downs of he said, she said. You know, I opened a company here recently. It's Tucson Seafood. We're going to pick crabs. That was one of the things we're going to do. We're going to get into farming oysters. That's another thing. So I look forward to working with everyone here, hand in hand, because the knowledge I have, you can't buy. You can't read it in a book. You got to get it from somewhere. So I would ask that you guys weigh all of this in and, you know, give me an opportunity to do what I do and provide for not only my family, but for others.
Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Ballack.
Question for Mr. Freeman. Am I right in looking at this? It looks like essentially 2 days, July 22nd and then August 23rd. And on July 22nd, you're claiming that at least the first two convictions, exceeding the fish pot limit and the keeping hard crab from the fish pot, were learning experiences. You admit you were wrong. You didn't know the regulation. The other July 21, 22nd was fish pots in the navigable channel, and that was weather is what you're claiming. And then August 23rd, that's the nuanced situation where you did know at that point that you could only have 30 fish pots if you had a crab pot overboard. But what happened is you had a crabber on your boat. Exactly. You did not have a crab pot of your own overboard. Okay.
So to me, the only thing that I personally, that I feel like I messed up with was not finding out the law. I just got back into it because, as he said, Mr. Rowley said, they changed that law when I stopped. I should have researched it further. And I went online to find it. And I got nowhere. It's locked in a code somewhere. And I'm like, where is it at? Can't find it. So I called and did everything I possibly could. You know, when I found out I was wrong, yes, I was wrong. I had crab pots in the water. I didn't know. I took them up immediately. Did what I had to do to get right. But under what I'm told by different people, I should not have had a problem having Mr. Forrest on my boat. Because I only have fish pots in the water.
I'll note for the record here that all of our fishery regulations are posted on our website under the easy-to-find header of regulation. Mr. Zeter.
Let me ask each of the officers, how would you describe his demeanor during your experience writing the ticket? His demeanor. And identify your name and say what your point is.
Sergeant Griffin, the crab pots in the channel. Mr. Freeman was upset when I made contact him with the dock that he was getting the ticket. But other than that, he was cooperative.
Any vulgarity or anything used? No, okay, next.
Officer Price, I didn't have any problems with Mr. Freeman. He was cooperative.
And you?
No problems with Officer.
Name?
Officer York. Officer Steve York.
And your answer?
I didn't have any problems with
gentlemen, same lineup, but I have a question. The date of offense and the date before, if you recall, what was the weather? Do you recall any storms?
Commissioner, on the date of my offense, it was sunny, and I actually do have pictures I can show the commission on my phone of his fish pots in a straight line in the calm seas, sunny day. I do not recall that there was a storm beforehand on my occasion.
All right, thank you, Sergeant. Officer York, do you happen to remember?
I don't recall any storm. I remember the crab pots being in a straight line and the water being flat.
Officer Price, same question.
It was clear, but on the morning that I boarded him, it was a little bumpy.
Yeah.
It was It wasn't rough, but it was bumpy.
Mr. Cedar.
How far were these crab pots in the channel?
Sir, Officer Griffin, some were, it's hard to say, I had them all plotted on a chart at one time. Some were 50 feet. One was up against the buoy. Others were maybe 100 feet at the most into the channel. They were all on the Hampton side of the channel.
Isn't it on the edge of the channel, it's about what depth?
It's about 60 feet, I believe.
And then into the channel?
The channel, inbound channel, is dredged for 65 feet, I believe. No, it's 55 feet coming in. I believe it's 65 feet outbound for the coal ship. So it's about 55, 60 feet.
And then as soon as you get outside the channel, what is the depth?
It's the immediate, I don't know, but it shoals right up to Hampton Flats out there, which there's a bar itself, which is almost no water.
Were the lines excess of the depth? In other words, were the lines too short for the depth?
No, they were not being pulled under the water. When I observed them, they were floating above the water. and the chain of there's what they call a scope. I don't know if you're familiar with that, of chain that they have on the buoys the Coast Guard puts on the navigation aids. So the sinker may be in point A, but the scope of the chain moves based on whatever they put out, 100 feet, 125 feet. So as the tide moves, it causes the buoy to move all around the sinker. The same would happen with the crab pot float. The crab pot floats based on the line and the depth of the fish pot. It's going to move somewhat. It may be at point A in an incoming tide, but be at point B on an outgoing tide. So regardless of the movement, the fish pot buoys were inside the channel. So I guess what I'm trying to say is if there was 100 feet of line on the fish pot and it moved into the channel, it should not have passed where the buoys were lined up because the buoys also move with the currents.
I see you're talking about now. Yeah, okay.
Could I go inside with something about that, please?
Up to the commissioner.
Let me see if there's any other questions from the commission. Are there any other questions from the commission? Mr. Freeman, you can add your 2 cents worth here.
He's absolutely correct. And with my experience and the depth of water, it actually goes from 35 feet to 48 feet. 47 feet right on the edge of the channel drops off to 52 feet. In the middle of the channel, it's 65 to 67 feet. Now, when I set pots, I judge the tide, because if you look on the chart plotter, and I have very good equipment on my vessel, you have a recommended line of the channel. That's never right. You have to visibly see the channel markers because it's always off, because they move them, and it's what the Coast Guard does. But they try to stay close as they can. So when I run a pot out, I always try, because I got 120 feet of rope, I always try to catch the tide when I set my pot, because I know when I drop that pot, it's going to go just like this. It never drops straight to the bottom. It's impossible. It's too much water, too much distance. So I have to go over away, like 50 feet away, to know I'm going to drop right where I want based on the depth of the water to target the depth that I'm trying to be at. So he's absolutely correct. So within saying that, there's no way I intentionally would drop a pot in the channel. It's impossible. I don't do it. It's not happening.
Mr. Freeman, let me ask you a question here on your current license status.
Yes, sir.
Our records show that you purchased a number of licenses on January 8th of 2018.
That is correct, sir.
So you renewed your commercial waterman's card, your crab pot license, 255 crab pots, channel whelk pot license as well, is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
Conch dredge, gill nets, Class B gill net, fish pot, and eel pot. Does that all sound correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from the commission? What is the will of the commission? The commission operates on motions, and the chair cannot make one. Mr. Miner.
Yeah, just like to thank the office for all that you do. You know, I've heard you talked about experience. You talked about dotting every I and crossing every T. You talked about no one knows that part of the water like you know it. And you also talked about your knowledge of the water as well, and that you can't put that knowledge in a book. You know, someone taught you about that. So I just want to say that I don't think the license should be suspended. But however, I do think that I'd like to make a motion that we go 3-year probation.
That's a legitimate motion here by Mr. Minor here for a term of 3 years for probation.
I second that.
Second by Mr. Zedrin. Is there a discussion on the motion? Mr. Zedrin.
The general course of defendants or watermen to come here have this line of convictions right on up to 2017, 2018. As the commission brought out, the last conviction was in 2000. I understand he took a little leave of absence, but the fact is, I'm a real stickler for certain things like taking oysters out of condemned property, condemned areas, and things of that nature. Here is a real oddball, and with this thing about, well, you know, I'm a crabber, but if I'm a fish pot guy and I let the crabber on board, I'm limited in my pots and things like that. But he's all licensed. I mean, he's all licensed for what he's doing and everything like that. He's taking the time to spend a lot of time here with us today. And then my position as a judge and stuff, I'm here to give him one bite at the apple, and that's why I agree with Commissioner Miner's motion. But I'll tell you this, if you coming back in here again, whatever the maximum is, and if we approve this motion, I'll be looking for it. So that's my position.
Mr. Neal?
Yeah. I'm just happy we only have one offender today. We have spent way too much time on this. I appreciate the officer's actions. Good work. This is not a revocation case. This is a probation case. You guys are harder than me. I would have done less, but that's okay. I won't oppose it. But let's vote on something.
Any other discussion? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye as well. Motion passes unanimously. It's a 3-year probationary term, Mr. Freeman. Please listen to what Mr. Zedrin just said. The judge is right. I won't be here if you come back, but you can count on these people here to remember this day. So please, dot the I's, cross the T's. Don't want to see you in trouble again, okay?
You guys won't have a problem out of me, and you will be seeing a lot of me, I'm sure. Not in this case. And as these guys know, you probably know you will see me.
If you go with the deputy chief here, he'll give you a letter that spells out your appeal rights.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay safe.